while the two girls, their lives were saved. Janet came to the United States and for the next 50 years had never once said a Catholic prayer, spent 1 minute in a Catholic church, never. And now my psychiatrist tells me I'm supposed to become a Catholic. Well, it seems what Janet had learned as a child, 3, 4, and 5 years old in Warsaw, from a Catholic nanny, told the children, "Now, be sure the door is closed, children. Don't tell anybody." And now she'd raise her hands. "You say in the name of the Father." They repeat after her. She would teach them. "They are Father." And they have my children, "Don't you dare tell anybody." They told nobody. They heard about Christmas, heard about Jesus, and they learned the Hail Mary. At the age of 5, cut off completely. What am I trying to bring out? Those early years are crucial. In other words, are we to hand on the gospel to others? Yes. Over the years, I do a lot of flying. Well, my definitions of heaven, by the way, there are no planes in heaven. I mean, that's an article of faith. But these ticket agents and others often do me favors. Give me a reduced rate when I'm late in getting a ticket, or getting me on the plane when the plane is already, the doors are closed, but I got to get on. "Father, I told you, the door is closed, but I got to get on the plane." All right, let me call up. And they open the door. So I do this regularly. I ask the person, "Do you know what a rosary is?" Some do, some don't. Some tell me I should. So I tell them, "I'll say the rosary for you." They tell me I should. I try to carry an extra rosary. And believe me, I'm no pious Joe. But it works. Pass on the gospel to others. Never let an opportunity go by. Question number 4. How do we pass on the gospel? Answer. We do so by professing our faith, living it with other believers, and celebrating it through the sacraments and prayer. By the way, all the answers are drawn from the Catechism. Am I clear? However, the answers themselves had to be telescoped, synthesized, because often the answer may occupy a paragraph, maybe even a page or two, to condense the answer. How do we pass on the gospel? We do so by professing the faith, our faith, living it with other believers. And by the way, as I've told the missionaries of charity now for 18 years, "Sister, you are missionaries of charity." And a missionary is the same thing as an apostle. The first object of your apostolate are your fellow sisters. You are to witness to your faith to your own fellow religious. And as I've told many people, the principal source of grace, hear it, the principal source of grace on earth for the husband is his wife. "Father, are you sure you know what you're saying?" "I do." And the principal source of grace for the wife, Is that correct now? You know, the husband has always told me, Father, if he's a source of grace for me, he is a very painful grace. Well, nobody ever told you that all graces were pleasant. Someone who believes, and the more deeply we believe, the more obligation we have to share that faith with others. And that is why some of you know, perhaps so painfully well, in a mixed marriage, how hard it is. It can be heroic on the part of a Catholic partner, say, to even profess the faith and raise the children in the Catholic faith. A woman I've been counseling for now, I think about 5 years, she calls me an average of at least twice a week from Iowa. And one morning, about 7:30 in the morning, happened to be in my office, she called me up and told me Kenny is the husband's name. Kenny just left the house on his way to work. She is pregnant with her next child. She married a man who became, quotes, a Catholic when he married her. 6 months after the wedding, he gave up his Catholic faith. She tells me, 7:30 in the morning, the noise woke me up. Kenny broke every picture, every holy picture, smashed the glass, threw it on the ground, every statue, threw it into the ground. In a fit of rage over the idolatry of his Catholic wife. We profess the faith, living it with other believers, and by the way, we need, hear this, we need other believers to sustain our faith. Do you hear me? If you don't have enough Catholic friends, find some. It's remarkable how dull-witted some people can be in close friends whom they choose. People with whom you can share what you believe, so they will strengthen your faith and you can strengthen and confirm their faith. Celebrating, that's the language of the catechism, through the sacraments and prayer. Question number 5. What is catechesis? I have 2 o'clock, is that yours too? 2 o'clock, Detroit time. What is catechesis? Catechesis is the church's effort to make disciples by enabling people to believe in Jesus Christ and thus build up his mystical body, which is the church he founded. What is catechesis? Catechesis is the church's effort to make disciples. To make disciples by enabling people to believe in Jesus Christ and thus build up his mystical body, which is the church he founded. The key word in that answer is the word disciples. In other words, we distinguish between converting people to the faith or evangelizing, another word, bringing the faith to those who simply do not have it. catechesis, strictly speaking, assumes the person already has some faith, even though it's just a spark or the seed of faith in his soul. Catechesis then develops, because the word disciple, we just said, was a crucial word here, and discipulos in Greek is one who has learned. A disciple is one who has learned what he believes. There's quite a difference to know what to believe. That's number one. There's a difference between knowing what to believe and then learning to understand the meaning of what I believe. Catechesis is concerned with explaining, deepening, providing depth, intelligibility to what we believe. And this, as I can say with all the emphasis at my disposal, the greatest single need in the Catholic Church today is the need for Catholic education to enable people to understand their faith. Gone is the day of a person, say, merely memorizing certain catechism answers. A certain amount of memorization is necessary. Now, that memorization by itself was ever enough. But then, what is catechesis? It is not merely remembering what the Church teaches. Oh no, it is getting into the inner meaning of what God has revealed. And over the years, I've never tired repeating, read, I beg you to read, chapter 13 of Matthew's Gospel. Read it till we meet the next time, and even month, I think it's 4 weeks from today, on October the 9th. In other words, for generations now, how sadly will I know? Oh, I've told more than once, one book I will never write, my autobiography. They were telling me, Father, why don't you write it and we'll publish it after the Lord calls you into eternity? No. There are too many people whom I know and whom I love who have caused me intense lifetime agony. I do not want to share my pain with anyone. God gave me the privilege, and I want to do it for Him alone. When I talk about going in our faith in Christ's divinity by loving the cross, believe me, I'm not quoting some clever phrase from a book I've read. That's a quotation from the Book of Life. It's real, really real. I know human nature. We're all, beginning with the speaker, afraid of the cross. So what? If Christ could sweat blood in Gethsemane, and he was scared, so can we be scared. Nothing wrong with being scared. The secret is, do you embrace the cross? Turn the page, close the book. Next question, number 6. How is catechesis a form of education. This, by the way, needs to be said. You've got such weird ideas about the meaning of education in the modern world. And for many people, you just don't teach religion. Religion is a feeling, you know. Some people have a feeling. Answer. How is catechesis a form of education? Catechesis is education in Christian doctrine of children, young people, and adults. Period. Catechetical instruction is given in an organized way for training believers in the fullness of the Christian life. And we repeat, as I've been asked to, catechesis is education in the Christian doctrine of children, young people, and adults. Catechetical instruction is given in an organized way for training believers in the fullness of the Christian life. One day, just coincidentally, secretary working in the office at the university, I told her, tonight, let's just have all the calls come in and we won't answer any of them. They're just too much work to be in. So I turned off the machine, that is, so we could not hear any of the calls coming in. But they were both recorded and the calls were counted. From 9 to 5 that day, there were 47 telephone calls. And over the years of my priesthood, by now, thousands of people, letters, personal conversations, telephone calls, and now, of course, the blessed fax. All kinds of ways of communication. I mean this. Most people mainly need, no matter what that problem may be, hope you'll believe me, the most important thing they need, and the problem may be very deep, an agonizing problem, what they mainly need is to more deeply and clearly understand their Catholic faith. I mean it. It's in the mind. If my mind does not provide me with reasons based on faith for whatever trial the Lord sends me, let me tell you, psychiatrists are no help. In fact, they become a nuisance. And I've done my share of counseling psychiatrists. They have problems too. As a wife, one psychiatrist called me up, Father, will you please tell my husband to stop spending so much time with his patients and a little more time with his children? He is putting in 70 and more hours a week in psychiatric practice. His children seldom see him. So, of course, I then gave my advice to the psychiatrist. It is impossible, and this is a universal statement, it is impossible for any of us to too well or too deeply know our faith. But as I've said, I'm sure to this audience, Americans are the most mesmerized, the most hypnotized, the most brainwashed people in the world. I mean, in the world. Our media are organized, sheer genius, Luciferian genius, in brainwashing the minds of the millions in our country. To a point now when you even talk about, say, education and religion, when you mention religion, well, you're talking well about, you know, some mamby-pamby emotional feelings that some people resort to because they cannot face reality. Number 7. One of the outstanding periods in catechetical history, this is a long answer compared to the others, one of the outstanding periods of catechetical history, they are periods when the church has special need for self-renewal and reformation. Period. Such was the age of the fathers of the church, like Saints Cyril of Jerusalem, John Chrysostom, Ambrose, and Augustine. Stage 1, period. Such too was the 16th century, when the Roman Catechism was published after the Council of Trent. Period. Such is the period after the Second Vatican Council, which council Pope John Paul II called the Great Catechism of Modern Times. One of my responsibilities for the Holy See is to do what I can to bring back the strayed sheep of Archbishop Lefebvre back to union with the Bishop of Rome. And one reason I know, dealing with so many of these people, one reason is that by all we have heard about the Second Vatican Council is what? Well, closing 65, this is now 94, it's almost 30 years of lie after lie after lie. 5 big volumes of lies. Commentary on the Second Vatican Council. Do you hear me? However, and this is a pathetic however, by now, not just thousands, but millions have been affected, infected, and deeply by what they call the spirit of Vatican II, what I rename the evil spirit of Vatican II. Am I still clear? Of the Vatican II that never took place. That means that people 30 years old now, well, see, I was born in 1965. That means you were born when the council closed. The need, therefore, and that's where this catechism is having, and what a safe statement, not just an up-the-hill or uphill struggle. It's up the mountain. Struggle for acceptance. But it does not sound like the Vatican II that I'm afraid most Catholics have heard about. And if only, all the deceit on Vatican II came from the public professed enemies of the Catholic Church, would have made it much more simple. Like in conversation with a bishop who gave his imprimatur for the Dutch catechism after Vatican II finished. just a vicious misrepresentation of the church's teaching. Published, as you know, first in Holland, then translated, I think, all the modern language in use in today's world, including English. We were going to be at a meeting with the bishop. I said, "Bishop, whatever possessed you to give the imprimatur for the English translation of that wicked catechism?" He had no excuse. "I never read the manuscript." Denies every single major article of our Catholic faith. And imprimatur from all the Dutch bishops. Gone is the day when we can just, you might say, coast and sled ride into heaven. Or better, be somehow hoisted to heaven. Now, we better know our faith and know it so well that when we even, first thing you do, see if a book has an imprimatur. Now look at the table of contents. Many people don't even have to read the book. I know it's in the book. This then is the third period. And remember, if the first period was about 1,000 years, second period about 600 years to the rise of Protestantism in the 16th century, and the present period about 400 years since the opening of the Protestant Revolution. We are living in, of the three periods of revolution, we believe, or I believe, that we are living in the most critical of all the 20 centuries of Catholic history. Question 8. What is the purpose of the Catechism of the Catholic Church? Its purpose is to provide an organic synthesis of the essential and fundamental Catholic doctrines of faith and morals. These doctrines are presented in the light of the Second Vatican Council and the whole of the Church's tradition, period. Their main sources are sacred scripture, the fathers of the Church, the liturgy, and the magisterium, or teaching authority of the Church. What then is the purpose? The purpose is to provide, notice, two things. A synthesis, but on two different levels. A synthesis of the essential and a synthesis of the fundamental doctrines of faith and morals. The word essential has to do with objective. The word fundamental has to do with subjective. In other words, the Catechism provides us with the reality of what the Catholic faith really teaches on what we are to believe with our minds and how we are to choose with our wills. But the Catechism also provides, well, a synthesis of the fundamental doctrines of faith and morals. In other words, it does not just talk in speculative or generic terms. It gets down to concrete, specific facts. Like what? Like homosexuality. Like what? Like the impossibility of ordaining women to the priesthood. Or like one of the Spanish translations. There are two Spanish translations of the Catechism. One of the Spanish translations is a mistranslation. And speaking of this subject, the ordination of women, that women may not be ordained. Say that again. Women may not be. Come. Women cannot be ordained priests. Okay. Question 9, and with this we'll close. What is the basic structure of the catechism? The basic structure is inspired by the great catechisms of Catholic tradition. They've always been four, call them four pillars. They are the faith, which is the Apostles' Creed, the sacraments, seven sacraments, the commandments, and prayer, synthesized in the Lord's Prayer. Those are the four divisions, basic structure of the catechism of the Catholic Church. And that basic structure remains intact. And now for almost 2,000 years, because already in the first century, there were the equivalent of our catechisms now. What everyone who became a Catholic had to know was what to believe. Sacraments to receive, commandments to observe, and prayers to offer to God. And my clock says 2:25. Notice I'm taking every minute. There is a lot to cover. Shall we pray? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us of every
in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we have a 15-minute break, is that it? So reassemble in 15 minutes. Thank you.